Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. It's great to be with you on this Wednesday. People have been asking me repeatedly, it seems like the guests that you get sometimes are mostly about Kevin's life. Scott Goodyear, Vince Welsh, Paul Page, NFL DirecTV.
What's your point?
So now we're bringing Kevin to refute.
What's your point?
To refute. Look, Steve, here, just ask a series of questions. Just help me out here.
Don't think. Just read the script in front of you, okay?
Hey. Now, today we're going to talk about the DirecTV AT&T merger and how it could affect NFL Direct Ticket. You're obviously very concerned.
Well, I think it could have an effect on Sunday Ticket either way. I mean, one way or another. I mean, this merger may not even go through. This shows the power of what we've talked about with Tony Knopp many, many times, the power the NFL has over not just football television ratings, but now maybe mega deals.
Well, it does have power. I know with the Big Ten Network, one of the keys with the Big Ten Network was the ability of the Big Ten to get Comcast and Time Warner to sign off. Once they did, they went from the red to the black financially. And that's what it comes down to. What kind of clearances do you get? And with Big Ten Network, they're hoping that the feeling is so strong in your area for your team, you have to have it.
Well, go ahead and finish that. I'll jump in.
That's the deal with this. I mean, people love the NFL.
Well, think about this. ESPN has their game plan. That is not exclusive to just satellite TV. That's also on cable. There is Major League Baseball Extra Innings. Same principle as Sunday Ticket, available also on cable and other outlets. Then you have NHL Center Ice. Again, same principle as Sunday Ticket. Sunday Ticket is the only entity in major sports, including the NBA, that has exclusivity deals as far as how its out-of-market games are broadcast.
Well, here's the deal. It's a proposed $49 billion merger between AT&T and DirecTV. And it's not about its subscribers, not about free cash flow, dividend coverage, anything else. It's about football.
It's about the National Football League.
Okay. It's an 8,000-page filing altogether.
Pity the person that has to read it.
NFL, somebody has to. Although we've found out in recent years that Congress doesn't even read their own bills.
I was going to say, everybody does read everything. So.
Yeah, I mean, no offense, big dogs, but I mean, that's your job. NFL Sunday Ticket has been on DirecTV for years. And it could potentially kill the merger. And the reason is they may not be able to put together a deal between the NFL and DirecTV. So there you go. That's the NFL and the power that it currently has. I mean, you could sit there and talk about on ice, Major League Baseball, whatever. Okay? But Sunday ticket on DirecTV has been the standard for years. Just the mere thought that it's a problem has seen stocks drop sharply. DirecTV down 2.1% to $84.37 a share. AT&T's off 1.8% to $36.07 a share. All the tickets that Kevin sells at his house. Oh, I'm sorry, that's illegal.
No, no, that doesn't happen. But there are a few.
Just,
you know what?
Just remember, just I want you to remember three key words.
All right, three key words. Yep.
This is for you.
All right.
Deny, deny, deny.
Right. Well, think of this. How many bars, eating establishments promote having Sunday ticket? Just about everyone. Okay. And they'll have special meal events going on at that time, what have you. Now, imagine if the NFL decides to go with another entity besides satellite or even the cable route, which is, I'm sure, an option as well. Cable companies coming together to try and get this available to them. What if it goes the route of the internet?
Well, they're saying what would you get from that? Nobody wants to watch that.
No, but you have how many TVs do you have out there that are internet ready or internet compatible now? You know, you were talking about this the other day, watching it on your big screen TV. Well, you can do that. You can do that with your internet TVs.
Yeah, I have a smart TV. Yes. Roger Goodell late last year was said to be shopping the package.
That's correct.
Okay, and they've shopped it to YouTube. By way of Google. Now, this deal with DirecTV started in this current one, 2009. 4-year deal. Price tag, $4 billion. Mike White's the current DirecTV CEO. Company and the NFL continue to talk about extending the deal. They say the relationship between the two companies has been good. All right. But the NFL has not been shy in recent years about how they feel about technology. And it's different.
I mean, they've already started. Look at the marketing campaign that the NFL put together over the last couple of years with Verizon. As far as the mobile app to be able to watch some of the primetime games on a mobile device. See, this is what leads me to believe that the NFL... No, I don't. No, I am a Service Electric customer. But this is what leads me to believe that the NFL is going to look for a different outlet. If you continue with DirecTV, for an example, you're in a finite amount of locations and houses because you have to have DirecTV to get it. If they go a different route, if they go with some sort of a cable agreement that also involves internet, now guess what? Mm-hmm. The NFL has opened up the doors to, what is it that you call it that they have? Not the money truck. What do you call them?
Money tree.
The money tree. Yeah, that's it. They open the door to an extremely large money tree now.
Look, they have it. They have a huge money tree to begin with.
I mean, that money tree now plants and regrows every year.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So this is the deal between the two, where it stands, and obviously, I mean, you know, Kevin's being discreet. Obviously, he's, you know, this is really all about his viewing.
It's all about the fact that I want to be able to see it. No, I get all the games I want, so it really doesn't bother me.
You won't even watch your team play. You're afraid you jinx them. You'll leave the room.
Yeah, it's a new year now. It's a whole new set of jinxes.
I can't believe you do that.
New year, new set of jinxes. Just like the team, I get a chance to start over.
Last year when you told me I won't watch the game, then why even bother rooting for the team?
I kept track of the score. And it worked for quite a while. The one game I watch at the end of the year is a game that they needed to win. They actually did their part, but the team before them didn't. And I watched that game, too. But anyway. No, I do. I find this...
Why would NFL season ticket... DirecTV affect you because you won't even watch your team?
Well, because I can watch other teams instead.
that's why you have NFL Red Zone.
No, I agree. And you know what? That has been a brilliant move by the cable industry, because Red Zone and the way they do Red Zone is just almost a new way to watch football when it's not your team or when your team's on and you can't watch it because it's a conflict with the Eagles.
It's really... Look, and Chris Hansen, by the way, is outstanding.
Oh, man. I don't know how he does it.
I mean, I never hear him stumble and make a mistake.
I mean, he goes from one game to the next game. He knows the players. I mean, he's not watching it with a spotter or anything, I wouldn't imagine. I mean, maybe somebody's feeding him player numbers, but it happens so quick. He must have a roster for every team or just a photographic memory.
No, he's amazing. Does a great job. Want to get him on the show sometime.
That'd be a good one.
Talk about what a Red Zone day is like. Because he's on the air at noon and he's done at 8. So the guy only works 8 hours a week. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's a long, hectic eight hours.
Yeah.
I don't eat dinner or lunch.
About to get him on. He'd be a great guest to get on sometime. More and more people are watching Red Zone. See if we can do that. All right, we're going to talk about this with somebody that actually knows what they're talking about next. Kevin kind of has wishful thinking. Although Kevin bought, I guess, 500 shares of AT&T this morning.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you to the show. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by Chris Siaccia from thestreet.com. Chris, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Well, you wrote really, I think, a brilliantly researched article on DirecTV, AT&T, the merger, and the NFL. When you look at the $49 billion proposal between AT&T and DirecTV, give us a path as to how the NFL figures into this as to whether it stays or falls apart.
Well, there are a number of sticking clauses between AT&T and DirecTV for the deal to ultimately get consummated, but one of them is DirecTV's agreement with the NFL as it relates to Sunday Ticket. Sunday Ticket right now is extended for another year, but once that season's over, there's no longer any NFL Sunday Ticket on DirecTV. So if the NFL and DirecTV don't work out an agreement to extend the deal, AT&T can walk away from buying DirecTV scot-free.
So there it is right there in a nutshell. So now moving forward, it's an 8,000-page filing. So what about the NFL and how they feel about YouTube, Google, even Verizon?
Well, the exclusive negotiating window between DirecTV and the NFL is over. So Commissioner Roger Goodell has been talking to other partners about potentially bringing Sunday Ticket to alternative platforms. Late last year, he'd actually met with Google's CEO about bringing it to YouTube. So this is not something that I would suspect that, you know, Goodell is not talking to other people. But given the fact that there's a relationship between DirecTV and the NFL going back close to a decade, I think that ultimately a deal between the two parties probably gets done, assuming that no other company, like you mentioned, like a Verizon, a Google, or maybe, you know, so another company that has a streaming service blows the NFL out of the water with just mountains and mountains of cash.
Right, and that's what the NFL is about, mountains and mountains of cash. All right, Chris, now let's get to the next part. Give me, what is the value, in your opinion, of DirecTV as an entity, and what would the value of DirecTV be without NFL Sunday Ticket?
Well, this is a really big thing for them. I mean, they're spending lots and lots of money on this for a reason. The contract with the NFL was about $1 billion a year. They're not really making any money on it from a revenue generating standpoint of view. They're kind of using it as a loss leader to kind of bring in more subscribers and then sell them additional services. So if they lose this, it's not going to hurt them from a revenue standpoint, you know, immediately, but it will hurt them down the line from a subscriber standpoint, because there are a lot of people who subscribe to DirecTV just for a Sunday Ticket. So this is one thing that AT&T's looked at and said, you know, if the deal doesn't get done between the two of you, then we're just going to walk away, and we really don't want you.
And in fact, for people, go back to the 90s when Fox picked up the over-the-air contract for NFC games. You know, the big reason for them was to promote their primetime lineup. It's a lot the same concept, isn't it really, Chris, where, look, we're promoting it so we can get more subscribers.
Absolutely. I mean, they're trying to generate as many subscribers as they can as possible. DirecTV is never really going to be able to compete with your major cable companies like a Comcast or Verizon or Cablevision here in the Northeast. So what they have to do is they have to offer something different and then bring them into them their services and sell them additional software and services and things. And the NFL is probably the best lead-in you could probably have. People watch 16 games on Sunday. There's nothing better than that, except maybe even going to the games, and maybe even in some cases that's better than actually going to the stadium, depending upon who you're rooting for. So this is really something that DirecTV needs to have. When they were discussing the conference or the merger on a conference call on Monday, DirecTV's CEO had said that they were still highly confident about getting a deal done and that discussions were ongoing and they were very positive. So ultimately, a deal probably gets done, but it all matters how much money the NFL gets.
All right. So where does AT&T figure into this, in your opinion?
Well, right now, they can't really do anything. There's no deal, official deal between DirecTV and AT&T, so they're kind of just sitting on the sidelines. But given that, you know, they're this enormous telecom company, they obviously have a lot more resources than DirecTV does. So Goodell probably has to be mindful of the fact that AT&T can probably offer more money once this next deal is done than probably most other companies, except for maybe a company like a Google or an Apple that have these gobs and gobs of cash sitting in the bank. So Goodell's not stupid. I mean, he's generated tons and tons of revenue for the NFL since taking over for Paul Tagliabue a few years ago. So he's got to be mindful of that fact. But he also has to realize that if he has to do what's best for the NFL right now as well, and if that means going to YouTube or Netflix or somewhere else, then he has to do that.
All right. The NFL, look, CBS is number one on Thursday night right now. Yet despite being number one on Thursday night, they still entered into and eventually won the bid for Thursday night football for eight Thursdays in the fall, some of which goes into the start of the primetime lineup. What did that tell you about the power of the National Football League, Chris?
Ratings are through the roof for these games, and it means big, big advertising dollars for these companies like a CBS or Fox or NBC that have the contracts with the NFL. This is something that these companies are mindful of because there's not a lot of other products out there that are DVR-proof. I mean, if I want to go sit and watch Big Bang Theory, do I care whether I watch it on Thursday night or Tuesday night when I have a chance? Probably not. But if I'm going to sit there and watch the Jets or the Giants or another team, I want to watch it on Sunday when the game's going on. I'm not going to sit there and wait until Monday morning when everyone and their brother is talking about it. So this is a really big thing for CBS, and that's why they bid on the Thursday night games. The quality of the Thursday night games has not been so great the past couple of years, but it's still better in terms of generating advertising dollars than almost every other thing out there.
Right. There's no question about that. The NFL, is there an entity out there that has done a better job of exploiting multiple options in today's media than the NFL?
No, I don't think so. I think Goodell has exploited nearly every single asset that he has and turned the NFL not into just, you know, something that people talk about on Sundays, but throughout the entire week and throughout the entire year. He turned the draft into a three-day event. He put the first round on Thursday nights in primetime TV, whereas it used to be on Saturdays and Sundays on ESPN when people were out doing yard work or hanging out with their kids. Now this is a must-see event. The release of the schedule is a must-see event. It gets covered six ways from Sunday. So he's done everything possible to put the NFL in the forefront of consumers' eyes, and they can't get enough of it. Ultimately, though, there becomes a point of diminishing returns, and that's something he has to be mindful of. There's oversaturation, and while I don't think we're approaching that level just yet, that's something he and the 32 owners of the NFL teams have to be mindful of.
That was going to be my next question. We're talking with Chris Siaccia from TheStreet.com, who has brilliantly chronicled all of this. I was going to ask you about, now you have a good handle on the landscape. Saturation point is obviously a line that moves, but how close are they to it? Are they far away from it? This is, you know, I'm just looking for your sense and your feel for the marketplace.
What I've seen in talking to sources and kind of, you know, being a football fan myself, I still feel like the NFL is probably pretty far away from saturation point. I mean, they have a dedicated channel, the NFL Network, you know, has 24/7 coverage, but they don't have seven channels like ESPN does. And I think people are continuing to watch these games. You know, they've changed the rules to make it more offensive friendly than it had been, you know, in previous years, and they're continuing to do that, mindful of television ratings. But they do have to be mindful of the quality of the games. Like I said earlier, the quality of the Thursday games is not what it is on Sunday and Mondays, and I think that's because players aren't able to recover, you know, from the injuries they're getting on Sundays and Mondays, and you're just seeing the quality of the play suffer. So Goodell has to be mindful of that. You can't increase the Thursday games. I don't think increasing the length of the regular season is a great idea. again, as it relates to player injuries, you have to be mindful of that. So I don't think that they're near a saturation point, but if we see a couple of those things, you know, whether it's an 18-game regular season or more Thursday night games, then I think that maybe, you know, fans might start to tune out.
Right. And by the way, only two teams in the league this year will play multiple Thursdays. That's Green Bay and Seattle, because they play the first Thursday and then they both come back in separate games later in the season. So they've tried to make sure that whomever's on Thursday only has to do it once, except for Green Bay and Seattle, because they play the opener. The 18-game schedule is something that ever since the lockout and they had the negotiation with the NFL Players Association, I noticed that hasn't been talked about since. Chris, how smart is that of the NFL to stay away from that, but maybe think about expanding a playoff game?
I think that's a really smart thing to stay away from 18 games. The players were incredibly adamant about that. I mean, we've seen, you know, with the new collective bargaining agreement, practice time has gone even down than what it was under the old CBA. Players don't want to be overworked, and coaches can only do so much with, you know, the OTAs and mini camps. So there's only so much that a person's body can take. You know, there's only so much punishment these players can take. Just because they're superhuman on Sunday doesn't mean they're superhuman Monday through Saturday. So probably increasing the playoffs is one way to get, you know, additional games on network television in prime time and generate additional ratings, and it's not going to hurt, you know, the average NFL player's career, who's, you know, they're only looking at maybe two seasons or three seasons tops.
We're with Chris Siaccia from thestreet.com. You mentioned you're a fan. Who's your team?
The Patriots.
Oh, okay. All right. Not bad. All right. Here's the next part of this. Stadiums. It's been a thought of mine that over time that, you know, even a smaller stadium, just because you need to sell seats, is going to be important. What about the balance that the NFL... Does the NFL consider a balance between stadium experience and home viewing experience? Because we've been talking about TV here left and right. But at the same time, part of what makes it exciting to watch a game is the ambiance of an excited stadium coming through your set. What kind of balance has the NFL tried to strike between stadium and viewing experience?
They're working really hard with the owners to increase what goes on in the in-game and in-stadium experience. I know I just went up to New England for the Patriot-Colts playoff game in January, and I noticed that, you know, they've got more restaurants up there and things to do outside of the stadium as it relates to shops. You know, the new 49ers stadium, you're going to have Wi-Fi all around the stadium so that you can check your fantasy teams and replays and things of that nature. So they're working with technology companies to really increase the in-game experience. You know, maybe you get food delivered directly to your seat so you don't have to go and wait in the concession lines. Things like that are really, you know, beneficial to the stadiums. But ultimately, the NFL's majority of its revenue comes from these TV contracts, and they have to be mindful that the in-game experience at the stadium is just probably not ever going to be as good as it is sitting on your couch watching your 50-inch screen TV with five or six of your friends.
Next part is the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52 awarded to Minneapolis. There's been a real pattern here of late. Lucas Oil Stadium. Let's take the Superdome off the plate here. Lucas Oil Stadium, MetLife Stadium, Glendale, Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, now Minneapolis. What do they all have in common? Those five venues are all brand new stadiums in this league. How important has it been to the NFL that that's the direction they're going in, new venues?
It's incredibly important. They want to get their product out there, and they want to reward owners for building new stadiums. I mean, we've, you know, here in the New York area, this was the first Super Bowl outdoors where weather was considered a factor. And in the media, it seemed like I saw four or five stories every day talking about the fact that MetLife was a brand new stadium and how weather was going to play a factor. So it's really important that Goodell get his product out and reward the owners for building new stadiums. Now, whether that's something that, you know, is coming from public funds and whether, you know, tax implications are a factor in whether city officials and employees and, you know, citizens that live in these cities are something that, you know, they're happy about or not. You know, that's a different story for another day. But this is really Goodell's mission, is to try to get the Super Bowl, which is the biggest event, you know, in television. You know, 100 million people watch it every year. He's trying to really build his product up to as big as it possibly can be. And the best way to do that is with the new stadium.
Chris, absolutely fascinating. Really appreciate the time you gave us. It was a great article in the Street, and hopefully we can hook up again and talk more about the business of sports.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Chris Siaccia from thestreet.com talking about the AT&T DirecTV proposed merger and how the NFL is playing a role as to whether it holds or not. We'll come back. Kevin with his analysis of the interview in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Surprised this isn't on your phone.
It is, but only starting in September.
Really?
Yep. That's my ring back in September.
Oh, okay. You know what my ring back is, right?
Yeah, nothing.
Exactly. It's a phone.
Actually, your ring back is, "Hi, Steve Jones. I'm ignoring your call. So if this is Kevin, don't even bother leaving a message."
Not an exact quote, but close.
Or is that just the one that I get?
Not an exact quote, but close.
You know, Chris said something that I didn't think of. I didn't think about at all. You know, we were talking about potential suitors to the NFL for new outlets. Never thought about Netflix. Netflix has really become a player in television, you know, with the series, the new series they've been providing, and maybe even live content. Wow.
Okay. Now, here is the key factor. Mm-hmm. If you're in business, you have to, and it's a tough gauge and it's a tough call. What is a short-term fad and what has long-term staying power? That is the key call when you make these deals.
Well, I don't what disagree with you.
Let's go through a series. Look how much technology has changed just in the last 15 years, where if you jumped on the technology bandwagon with certain things, you ended up with nothing. So you have to make a determination, for example, is Netflix a long-term big deal? I mean, back in the 90s, I thought Blockbuster Video was going to be around forever.
I was going to say, don't tell Blockbuster that, because right now...
No, I'm saying, but you see my point.
Well, but Netflix... That's how much,
But things change just because it's hot now. And look, Netflix 10 years from now may still be strong... viable, maybe even stronger 10 years from now. Or they could be in the trash heap of Blockbuster Video.
Well, I hope not, because House of Cards is really good.
I can tell you 10 years from now, House of Cards will not be on.
Kevin Spacey's really good, though.
I don't think I would base my move on the NFL on House of Cards.
I agree. That's just an entity I did not think about. That's an interesting thought.
It's another option. The question is it an option that if you sign a 5-year deal with them, are they going to be there 5 years from now?